defining. We've talked about successes, and we talked about what I titled Success in Motion, right? Jumpstarting your way into success. And we talked about a couple of things, and the one is the most important one. Well, they're all important. One of them, one important one we mentioned was the value of vision. The value of vision. We talked, the first thing we talked about was vision. And we said that if you were talking about success in motions, and we shared seven principles, and the first principle we talked about, well, so I was going to talk about seven principles, I only talked about one. And the first principle we talked about was the principle of vision. And I said vision jumpstarts everything you'd ever become. Anyone who cannot see what they can become would not become what they have not seen. So it's very tough for you to become what you have not seen until you have seen what you can become. And sometimes you say, and what happens to many of us in many cases is we belittle ourselves because that's all we have been seeing. We've been seeing and we've been told that we're no good or we're not great or you know, I don't smile well, I don't talk to someone well, you know, I everything I touch breaks. And that's what you've been seeing, and that's what you've been seeing about yourself. You know, when I was very young, I was, I think I shared the story. There was a name they named me when I was very young because everything that I touched, I always wanted to see how it worked. And so they named me a name as the spoiler because everything I touched, I had to break inside of it to see how it worked. I remember, and I shared the story, I broke our TV at the age of 2 because I said, why is this guy talking to me and I can't talk to him? There's something unfair going on here. And so, well, you know, as I continue to do that, thank God for parents who see beyond what you see. I remember I was about the age of 7 and I always broke things, like I said, and my parents never bought me toys because I always broke the toys. And they wouldn't buy me toys because they figured it was just a waste of money because any toy you gave to me, I had to break inside the toy to see exactly how the toy worked. You see, my mind was created to be a mind of an engineer, but nobody knew at that time because I was a 2-year-old boy who was trying to understand what I was doing. And I didn't get it either. But thank God for parents. My mom, I think at the age of 7 or something, I think she went to this place and got this book called My Book of Little Inventions. That gave me focus. That's after I spot a lot of things, right? So every gift they give my sister, not me. I didn't have toys. I think I was about the age of 15. I decided to buy myself a toy car, just because I never had toy when I was very young. I wasn't 15, but I was much older. First money he gave me, I said, "I'm gonna buy a toy car," not because I need it, but because I need the motor inside the toy car. Glory to God. Remember the Walkman? Just before the Walkman, this was many years when Walkman was in there, starting to come around, and I couldn't afford it, so they bought me this little radio. That radio could play a cassette player. Now, many people are listening to this, they don't know what a cassette looks like. Don't bother. So, but it was, give me a cassette, and rather than play cassette, so a young boy, you give me a cassette, we still had vinyl records at that time, so I was playing the vinyl records, right? So they gave me a cassette. And instead of using the cassette and listening to things, this is how bad it was, right? I've opened a cassette before and I've turned the cassette upside down to get the backside of the tape. That's how much, not bad, that's how much I really was very inquisitive of things. And so I got to the cassette and I removed the motor in the cassette because I wanted to build a motor car. Because the car said, My Book of Little Inventions, there was a way you could build a motor car in My Book of Little Inventions, but nobody got me the motor. And I had the only thing I had was a cassette player. So I figured I removed the motor from the cassette player. The only problem is I can't put it back because they soldered those things and I didn't have opportunity to solder. I just yanked the whole thing. And I got a little toothpaste box and I put some motor inside and put some tubes inside and put some cover of a bottle Coca-Cola and put some rubber band around and created tires and I created something to work with. You see, all the while I was thinking I was spoiling things, I was envisioning things. In one word, some people looked at it as spoiling. Nobody wanted to play with me because they wouldn't give me their toys. But in a word of my mom, they said, this guy is going to be an engineer. I remember my dad when I was growing up and he goes, I'm going to take you to a few people. You can draw, you can do this, you can do that. I'm going to have you spend some time with them and find out which one really is your calling. And that was one thing that changed my life and gave me focused understanding who I really wanted to be. So right from when I was very young, he asked me what I wanted to be. I would tell you I wanted to be an engineer. It was not a time when I wasn't dilly-dallying about it. I knew what I wanted to be, and I was very focused on it. But it all started because I was spoiling things. Vision is important because vision has a way to create the future. You cannot become what you cannot see. And so right from where I was very young, my book of Little Inventions, and if you ask me anytime, I will always tell people growing up, I want to be an inventor. That thing followed me so much more that when I first started my job, I said, I look for a job that had me invent things. When I finished school, I was so passionate about this thing that when I was doing my last, capstone project in school, they gave us a list of projects and said, what were the projects you wanted to do? You had to pick from this. I formed a group of people, I remember them very, very carefully, and we said, why don't we just break the boundaries and not take one of the projects? Let's take something that has not been done before. And so we decided to create what we called, today it's not very common, but this was many years ago, we created what is called a blind spot detector in an 18-wheeler trailer. Now, it's what you guys have now is blind spot detector. That's what we did. We created a blind spot detector. And so by the time we did it, we did not have anyone else do it. See, we were thinking like inventors at that time. And I remember one of my guys who went into the United States Patent Office. And while he was there, we said, hey, listen, can you find out if someone has done this thing so that we can patent it? He looked inside and realized that they hadn't seen anything about that, but we didn't have the funds. Again, we didn't run through it, so we didn't or couldn't pursue that. But we were designing things because of what started as a spoiler as a little child. Vision. I saw myself as an inventor. Not because I invented anything now, but with what I had, I was seeing that. And because of parents who could help you guide you into that. So vision is really important. What are you seeing about yourself? You will never leave it a picture you have not pictured. And so if we're going to become anything in life, whether you're going to be a great businessman, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a nurse, you're going to be, I want you to start seeing that. That is the power of vision. That is the power of vision. Everything you can ever be would always start from what's in your mind. Don't let anyone tell you you cannot be. Don't let anyone tell you cannot be. Let that vision, remember I said, when you have a vision, you have it so much, the question is, can you die for that vision? Is it worth you living for that vision? And we talked about, if you don't have a vision, we talked about a few things about driving a vision, about praying about it. Vision starts from within. What's inside of you? Draw from the gifts and talents and desires. I think you can see where my vision came from. We talked about vision, draw from your history. We can talk about that as well. And vision meets others' needs. I don't know how that one did my own, but anyway, but meets other people's needs. And we said, write the vision down. Okay? And we said the number two thing we said about jumpstarting life of success, success in motions, principles of success, is goals, set goals. And we talked about setting goals. What was the thing we said? And when we set goals, one of the most difficult things we do is we always say, later, right? I'm going to do it later. I said, any goal must be what? Time what? Time bound. If your goal does not have a set time you want to do it, then it's nothing but a dream. Before you go to bed at night, what time do you have to wake up in the morning? When you wake up in the morning, what time do you have to leave? Goal setting, one of these days I get to have a sort of a workshop on goal setting sometime. But goal setting is a very, very powerful tool because you can evaluate your day by your set goals. If I wake up every day, I want to do this, then you don't need things that happen around you to determine success. Success is based on what you set up to do. You ever set up something and you decide you go and someone walks around and decides to ruin your day? They walk up on the wrong side of the bed and they come in and they tell you things and they just decide to make it very difficult for you that day. And then you evaluate the whole day on somebody's opinion. And that's because you may not have set a goal for yourself. But when we set a goal and say, today I'm going to do this, it doesn't matter who's flying around you. You know, I had a friend of mine when I was working, he would say things like, I say it all the time, a lack of planning yourself on your side does not constitute emergency on my side. They don't plan to come to you and say, we got to do it now. Hold your horses. I have a plan. And successful people know what the plan is and they execute that. I had a very good friend who has this round wood, and he carved into it T-U-I-T. And every time he comes to his office and he tells you to do something, say, yeah, I'll get around to it. He'll just say, take one. Because it's a round T-U-I-T, round to it. So because when you get around to something, you're not getting anywhere. And that's why we said one of the things we have to eliminate in our lives when we're setting goals, when we're doing things, is the word later. Were you here? Those people, you're sounding really, you're making good, I know you're saying it right there. I'm laying hands on the people in the sanctuary today. Later is the word we want to get away. And it's one of the ways we want to get away to later is to do, is to say what? Just do it. Wake up every morning and say, just do it 50 times. Before you go to bed, just say, just do it 50 times. And I tell you the power, I don't know how many people were able to do that, but the power of just saying, just do it, will kill the power of procrastination in your life. So you just see me just say, just do it, just do it. Then you feel like you feel empowered to do what you have to do because nothing else will stand in your way. When you say, just do it, every excuse will try to present itself. But what you're saying is you're bypassing the excuse by saying, just do it. Just do it. Guess what it does? It puts a force on you to say, I have everything it takes to do it. Very, very empowering. If you've never tried, try it. And that's only for those who want to see a difference in their lives, right? We've all agreed that your life will never remain the same, but you got to do something. So don't get round to it. Don't do it later. There's no problem with now. Just do it. Just do it. I'll tell you the third one we're going to say, and the third one we're going to talk about here today is be passionate. Principles of success. Be passionate. They say passion is the energy that comes from an unbroken focus on things that inspire you. Key thing, things that inspire you. Things that inspire you. See, when you have a vision, when you have a goal, it's easier than gaining passion. Being passionate about that goal is very important. Remember I said about vision, it must be something that you can put your life on. Something that's worth living for. Now, if I identify what's worth living for, then I have a passion for that thing. So every time someone comes to me and say, this is the next thing that's happening now, I already have identified what's worth living for, so I'm not easily moved by what somebody else wants to live for. And that's passion. Your paycheck gets you going to work. Let me say this again. Your paycheck gets you going to your place of work, your job. Passion gets you working. When you have a passion for a thing, it's no longer a job. It's now work. And you have to work, right? Work defined with certain duties is called a job. When they refine work and they put in the duties, it's got a job. So your job as a, that's why sometimes what you do and what your job says is totally different in some cases. Because they put duties around it. That's what they call a job. But when you love to work, make sure you work in the place of passion. Someone asked me, says, how do I know what I need to, what I've created to do? I said, what wakes you up in the morning? Because passion gets you off of bed. Who doesn't like to sleep? Who doesn't like to just sit down, watch something, or relax? Who doesn't like vacation? Okay, that's what I thought. Passion gets you off of bed. It inspires you. It creates energy in you. When energy gets flowing, nothing can stop it. Energy is powerful. Energy can create how does this work? Energy can create, I mean, if anything moving this world has a form of energy. Energy is unstoppable. I mean, when you look at nuclear energy, unstoppable. Anything that moves with force creates energy. You have energy within you. You have energy. How do I know this? No matter how tired you are, you just heard that there's you're tired, you're sleeping, and for some reason you wake up or you hear the alarm saying, that there's a fire alarm going on. What would you do? Keep sleeping? All of a sudden you manufacture energy you did not have when you went to the bed. And energy gets you out of bed and says, I've got to go. This power and energy. So how do we take this energy and drive it towards our goal? How do we take the energy and drive it towards success? And that's where passion comes in. Because either something is pushing you away or something's pulling you. And that's the way it works. I can tell you, go to school. You do that for your kids all the time. I don't feel like going to school today. I don't feel like going to school. Well, you got to go to school. Why? Because I just said so. That's pushing them. Now, they don't have energy to go to school. But there comes a time when you realize that you can't become until you study and you learn. That's pulling towards them. Now, better be something you're passionate about so they push you towards where you need to go. Many of us as believers are still being pushed. We're still waiting for that. What's going to wake me up to drive me to where I need to be? But God is saying, no. See, passion means there's something that inspires you. It pulls you towards it. And people say, well, we don't have enough to. Say, no. I am passionate about this. Let me tell you something that happens with passion. Passion allows you to do what you do well. And there's no success without diligence. We're going to talk about that. Passion allows you to do what you do well. It allows you to do what you do well. If you get there and you're passionate about it, people will say, it's enough. You mean, no, we don't have it right. We gotta do it right. And people can't understand why are you so passionate about this? There are many people who are working today, but they don't have the passion for what they're doing. I strongly encourage us to find what we're passionate about. Nurture your passion, because nothing fuels vision like a burning passion. Like a burning passion. Passion must drive you to develop all the necessary skills that are needed to make you succeed. In John chapter 2, verse 17, the scripture says that the zeal, was talking about Jesus, that the zeal consumed him after he chased people who was buying and selling in the house. And afterwards, the Bible says, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. You know, when he did that, and if you read through that scripture, after he chased people up, and they didn't understand what authority he had. You know what they said? Show us a sign so we know that you're truly authorized to chase us out of your house. I mean, what kind of thing is that? Everyone, Sadducees and Pharisees and priests were there, but they were selling and buying. Passion. There's nothing that fuels vision like a passion. What are you passionate about? Passion fuels pursuit and purpose. Now, I said this, paycheck that comes from your passion makes the work worthwhile. There's nobody with a passion who regrets the time. Say that again. There's nobody with the passion who regrets, the right passion towards the vision, who regrets the time. Have you ever gone to a place and said, man, that was a waste of time? Like, I just spent this, that's a waste of time. Let me tell you how powerful passion is, right? Sometimes you could pay somebody to do something, but because you're passionate about it, you do it. It may not even make sense for you to do it, but you're passionate about it, so you do it. What are you passionate about? Every one of us must have something that we're passionate about. And we need to identify those things we're passionate about, because that's going to become every. That's going to lead us to what we have to do. Some of you may be hearing my voice tonight. You may be hearing my voice tonight, and that just did not go well. This day I need you to cough anytime. It's like, oh, what's going on, brother? You may be hearing tonight, and you might realize that you've been in a job, in a place that you're not passionate about. You're pursuing a vision. You're pursuing a career you're not passionate about. Listen, it is better for you to make a U-turn while you can than to live the rest of your life in a regret of not making that decision. I share with people all the time, everything isn't money. Money will come to everything you're passionate about. The problem with money and passion is not that people, it's not because some people say, well, I know you're passionate about cleaning trash. It's not going to make you any money. There's a difference between passionate about something and learning how to monetize what you're passionate about. You get me? As my daughter was telling me the other day, she goes, "Dad, if we're living somewhere else, that there's a place where every time you give them your trash, they pay you money." The word recycling came because somebody decided to take somebody else's trash. Someone might be passionate about recycling, but how you monetize that is something different. I'm not here to about monetizing things. What I'm saying is that let your passion drive you. Wake up every day deciding, what am I passionate about? Don't get yourself doing what you hate to do. And just because you're successful in that, it doesn't make you a successful person. Because you don't want to wake up in your 60s and 70s and realize, I could have done that thing. Don't be afraid. Say to your neighbor, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I said, paycheck comes that comes from your passion makes your work worthwhile. A paycheck that comes from passion makes your work worthwhile. Say to your neighbor, be passionate. And look back at him and say, I'll be passionate too. Hallelujah. Diligence is the next one. I think everyone understands the part of a scripture where the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? Now, diligence is excellence in your work. It says, and I think King James Version says, do you see a man diligent in his work? He will stand before kings and not stand before unknown men. When God gave Moses the direction about building a temple and building the ark and designing things, God gave specific names of people that he needed to go call on because they were good, skilled in their craft. Are you skilled in your craft? The biggest thing, see, the biggest deterrent to racism, sexism, exceptionalism is excellence in what you do. If you're the one that's good at what you do, somebody who needs you will find you. Mediocrity never brings promotion. Diligence elevates your status. Let me say that again. Diligence elevates status. See, as that man diligent in his work, he will stand before kings and not mere men. If you're a good drummer, very good drummer, get better and get better and get better, you would find that your status will continue to increase. If I came there and many years ago, I tried to play the drum, keyword try, because I've seen some people play the drums and I realized all I did was playing on the drum. Wait, no pun intended. Not really playing the drums. And if I got there and I decided to play the drums and everyone blocks their ears, right? And someone comes from the place and you didn't know anything about him and walks in there and plays the drums really well, then you give him what? The respect that he's a great drummer. When you're good at what you do, all you're waiting for is somebody to identify that. Someone said this. When opportunity comes, preparation is too late. I'll say that again. When opportunity comes, preparation is too late. And as believers and as Christians, as people, sometimes we're waiting for, give me a shot, give me a shot. If you're not good at it yet, nobody's going to give you a shot. The Bible says, see one who's faithful in little, then much more will be committed. Why don't you take a moment now and be diligent in what your hands have found to do? What has your hand found to do? Be the best at it because your opportunity will come. I say it again, your opportunity will come. Be good at the present because the future is waiting for your best present. The future is waiting for your best present. When opportunity comes, preparation is already too late. Someone said, success is when preparation meets opportunity. Preparation is on a journey because opportunity will come. Why? Because the Bible says time and chance, what? To everybody. But when that time comes, where would we be found? Are we good at what we do? When time comes, where would we be found? I challenge you to take the passion, the vision, the things you've got, and ask yourself, am I the best at what I'm thinking right now? And find out things that make you get better, that make you get better. Drive that. Drive the growth. I have been in things, in a job I didn't enjoy. I wasn't passionate about it. And my wife knows this, no matter what kind of job I get to, I want to learn better, I want to learn better, I want to learn more. And I wasn't passionate about this, not passionate about it. I couldn't even get myself to go learn. Do I have the problem? No. The problem is what? I can't. It's the passion. Somebody say amen. So, God only promises to bless the work of your hand, not the works of your thought. The diligent hand makes one rich. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hands of a diligent makes rich. We've been asking, Lord, when is my time? When am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Success requires diligence. We must equally be diligent. You know, no lazy man has a future in life. If Jesus worked, you must work. Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's still day. He didn't have a J-O-B, but he worked. He recognized his vision. He stood in book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, and he was talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed and made to do this. And he finished that. He said, now the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And the Bible says he got up and began to do it. I love it. I love it. When you recognize what you need to do, nothing can stop you. When you recognize what you need to do, nothing can stop you. Recognize what it is that God has called you to do. Wake up every morning and feed that passion. Sometimes, and I'll tell you one misconception. Sometimes we think the passion would always create the diligence. Like, oh, if I'm not passionate about it, that's not it, and then it's not mine. No, if you know what the vision is, sometimes the passion may not be what comes first. Sometimes you begin to do it, and you begin to do it, and you realize that, oh man, where have I been all my life? I have never, no, I'm not living this. But when diligence comes in, diligence meets with your passion, you're unstoppable. Because you can spend so much time doing what you love and not even know you spend time doing it. There are some people that like to go to the gym. God bless them. That is not a passion for me. Woo, glory to God. Strive to be the best at what you do. Strive to be the best at what we do. And people might think it's a little bit difficult to do that. No, find out what you like to do. And it's easy to learn once you have the passion for it. And give it what it takes. Okay, and then let's go to number five, right? What's number five? Number five is discipline. So just for curiosity's sake and see how long we've been following with this, what's number one? Number one is clearly define your vision. What's number two? Set your goals. What's number three? Be passionate. And number four, be diligent. Diligence. Number five is what? Discipline. We're in the world this day that nobody wants to pay the price of greatness. You get a phone, you get a personality, you get a phone and you can speak, and all of a sudden you're waiting for your 15 minutes of fame. You just go out and tell everyone this, and you know, we live in a world where paying the price is no longer, we don't see it as the value to greatness. I'll tell you what I think someone said here, what I wrote down there, and I don't know if it's here, and that's the fact that Yeah. It was John Maxwell, he says something, says motivation gets you going. Discipline gets you growing. You can start something. Everyone starts. You can start something, and then you find yourself, I've started this thing, and you're going. But that's only as far as you can go. What gets you growing requires discipline. There is no great musician who did not discipline himself to practice. There is no great person who did not discipline himself to learn what they need to do. There is no teacher who didn't discipline time to read. There is no one who's good at something who didn't discipline themselves to be good at it. There is no nurse. I hope the nurse disciplined herself to do what they need to do. Otherwise, many people will be dead under them. There's no one who becomes anything without a discipline. A successful life is expensive. Self-discipline is one of the prices to pay to become a champion. May you become a champion in your life in Jesus' name. But you see, here's the thing. May you get that energy, that ability, that understanding to be disciplined in Jesus' name. I knew that email was going to be less than the other one, but I still said it anyway. Thank you, sir. Because the most important thing, let me tell you what happens. Whatever you learn in the life of discipline can never be taken away from you. It can never be eliminated out of your life. So if you're going to be doing anything, discipline gets you there. And when I mean discipline, I'm not talking about smacking, I'm talking about self-discipline. Self-discipline is a lifestyle of commitment to doing what is demanded for success, not what is convenient for you. I know the ideal thing is sleep 8 hours, and I understand that. I think it's important for your health. I started to understand the value of sleeping more than 5 hours. Okay, I understand that. But you see, the problem I have with people who kind of hold on to that is the fact that they hold on to the sleep for 8 hours like it's a gospel, but they don't talk about what you need to do the remaining 16 hours. They don't give. They don't say work while it's work, when it's time to work, right? They just sleep for 8 hours. Like, you got to do the sleep for 8 hours thing. Oh, you don't sleep for, you got to do it. But what happens when you have to work? Do you work for the time and do you give your best at that time? Because we can be disciplined at sleeping, but everyone knows that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the eyes, a folding of the arms leads to what? So shall your poverty come. So when you sleep a lot more and you don't self-discipline yourself on what you need to do to be successful, you may not be successful. Creating that balance makes you great. Somebody say amen. In anything you do, there would always be a need for discipline. No one gets good without discipline. Now, discipline requires sacrifice, and sacrifice is a price for greatness. What are you willing to sacrifice to be where you are? Now, I want you to understand the picture we're looking at. You got the vision, you got the goal, you got the passion, you got the, what's the other one? The diligence, right? And then you're now getting to discipline. You discipline yourself because you already have a vision. If you don't have a vision and you discipline yourself, it's like somebody who's going to hunger strike and call it discipline. No, hunger strike is hunger strike. If you do things without a sense of purpose of why you're doing it, you are hurting yourself more than calling it discipline. Because nothing motivates you. When the going gets tough, there's nothing that says, I can see the light. I'm doing for that purpose. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Abraham Lincoln. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. I told you what John Maxwell says, saying motivation gets you going, discipline gets you growing. How about this? Someone said, suffer the pain of discipline or suffer the pain of regrets. Robert Kiyosaki said something. He said, self-discipline is the number one delineating factor between the rich, the middle class, and the poor. Self-discipline. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. the bridge between goals and accomplishment. So we've talked, we set a goal, but the bridge there is discipline. I'll give you one more. This was by Kim Brenneman, and he says this, and she says this. She goes, discipline is being able to force yourself to do something in spite of how you feel over and over until it becomes a habit. What do you need to develop a habit in? What do we need to be disciplined at? Was in what you eat, in the way you eat, the time you eat, is in where you, what time you go to work, the time you work, it, is it in what is it? In cleaning up after yourself? What do we need to be disciplined at? Can we go to the next one? Before you start to think I'm talking about you. The next one is wisdom. Again, success in motion. The first one was you need to what? Have a vision. You need to, what I said, be clearly define your vision. What was the second thing we said? Well, it's what? Set your goals. What was the third thing we said? Be passionate about it. What was the first thing we said? Don't just do passion, diligence. Do the work that passion asks for. And what was number five? Be disciplined. Sometimes we want to do the work and it's time when our friends say we need to go do something else. Be disciplined. When God gives you a vision, I can tell you many times and I can tell many lives here that God has given a vision that vision is bigger than them. And you know, when someone comes to you and God gives you a vision, someone comes to you and say, come on. You can afford that shoe. Why not just buy the shoe? And you tell them, I have a plan. There's a reason for that. And they think you're stingy. It's okay. Take it. Because your visions are not the same. But it'll be sad for you to want to do that and say they say that and you yourself turn around and lose sight of your vision. Then you have no, you just validated their point. Hallelujah. Again, I don't want you to think I'm talking about you, yet I'm talking to you. Number six, wisdom. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, the scripture says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge to bring a solution. The world is full of knowledge because every time you go to the place, you go get knowledge. You go to school, you go get knowledge. You read the news, you get knowledge. Every time you go to places, you get knowledge. But applying that knowledge in the right place at the right time, focusing the right thing is what? Wisdom. Have you been in meetings where everybody has something to say? And what you don't, what everyone's saying is just bringing in knowledge. In other words, oh, we could do it that way. Yeah, we could do it that way. Oh, you know, I read about this. You know, this meetings. I read about this, that if you do this, this is going to happen. And everyone's bringing all contributions to it. And then somebody says, you know, I believe if we do X, Y, Z, we'll get, everyone's talking about a problem, but nobody's talking about a solution. Everyone's adding value to the problem. Yeah, I know. It's always been like that. And nobody talks about it. And somebody stands up and speaks about the solution. And all of a sudden we're like, whoa, he's so wise. All he did was apply the knowledge. That's why, I remember Pastor Tito would say this. He would listen for everybody to speak. And he says, I do that because in the middle of the speaking, they have the solution, but they don't know. And then he would say something and you go, whoa. Man, when I learned that thing, it's a powerful tool. Just go, whoa. He didn't say anything. We have meeting. He wouldn't say anything for a long time. All of a sudden, just say something. You're like, whoa. Where did that come from? Why? Because in everyone was already, and he says it. He goes, not because I came up with it, but he just took everyone's ideas and his knowledge, and he just created a solution out of it. It's powerful. That's why the Bible says, be swift to hear, but slow to speak. I read somewhere where sometimes it's better for you to be quiet. I said, you know, than to speak. And it's better to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. sometimes we want to talk and lose our opportunity to contribute. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Not now. So, wisdom is the right application of knowledge to bring solution. Wisdom is the power that keeps a person to stay on the cutting edge of success. Wisdom separates you from others. I just talked about that. Everyone might know what to do, but wisdom helps with when, how, and where. In Proverbs chapter 8, from verse 12 to 18, if you look at the scripture, it talks about wisdom. I mean, there's no book that decorates and talks about the value of wisdom like Proverbs chapter 8. It says, I was then the beginning when God created the earth. So if you go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 8, and from verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. Remember, we just talked about wisdom. Why, you know, we talk, use Pastor as an example. Like, you know, just, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, being prudent about what to say. And let's go back to verse 12, and I won't break that scripture down in that regard. It says, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Knowing what to say, when to say, how to say, makes the difference. It's not everything that comes into your mind that needs to come out of your mouth. The ability to be quiet at the right time is wisdom. It's not only what you say that creates wisdom. And it's true. Some people come around and curse other people out, and you're like, Sometimes, just be quiet. If you don't have anything good to say, be quiet. And someone will look at you and say, it's wisdom, because you can never quote a quiet person. You can never misquote a quiet person. Verse 13, scripture says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. Verse 15, by wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Verse 16, by me, princes, rules and nobles, all the judges of the earth. 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. In verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Wisdom speaking. And so we can read that too. It says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Amen. Wisdom. So let's talk about that for a second here, right? So we talked about wisdom, and wisdom can be acquired through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, through the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and through mentoring. That's what we just read in Proverbs chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 to 18. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 19 and Luke chapter 7 verse 35, the Bible says wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom is justified by her children. So people will not understand why you're making a decision, but if you know you've got wisdom of the Lord in your heart, the outcome will justify your children, your wisdom, the wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is important for success. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5, the Bible says, through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with pleasantries, pleasant riches. Wisdom builds your own. Wisdom builds your own. The scripture says in Proverbs, a wise woman, wisdom again, builds what? Her own home. The foolish one tears it apart. So wisdom builds your own home. So success, when you have a business, in I think it's in Living Bible, says every enterprise is established or is built on wisdom. Every enterprise. So whether you're building your business, you're building your family, you're building anything, think about it. Ask God, what is the wisdom you have to do? What is that wisdom? And don't think you have to be the only conduit of wisdom. That's a point of relationship. before the meeting started this evening, we're sitting down and brainstorming on some great ideas. And while we're there, even though I didn't know the ideas were already set and I did not know, and we're there, and while they were talking, I was just saying something and they were saying something, we're just talking, and ideas began to flow. And sitting down for about an hour, everything was settled. It may not be perfect, but it's a good start. But when you come together, the Bible says that in the multitude of what? Counselors, there's what? Safety. Don't think you have to be the source of all wisdom. You know, wisdom is important for success. You know, and the scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. I love that scripture because this is probably the life of some of us here. I know it was me. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Scripture, the part, second part of that scripture is, okay, listen, it says, if the axe is what? Dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must what? Use more, read it. But what? Sometimes we want to do, you know, we say grease pot, what's that thing? Elbow grease, right? You know elbow grease? Like you want to, very few, thank you. Thank you, sir. Very few people know elbow grease. Elbow grease is when you have to use effort. You know, the elbow grease. Right, that elbow, you use effort to do something. So chopping down a tree, you want to use the elbow grease, okay? But wisdom brings success. Do you realize that everyone who can do something better will make more money than the person that is doing the way? We've always done this way, and so we shall do this way. I understand if you don't get it, if you don't have the means, but just thinking we've always done this way, and we have to do this way, cannot bring you success. Challenge the status quo. Somebody with me? Wisdom at the right time makes you stand up. So wisdom brings success. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Let's talk about the last one. The last one here is invite God in all things you do. Invite God into everything you do. I'll tell you this, the presence, the success you're seeking out is not the same success as the world is seeking out. What profits you to have the whole money in the world, but you cannot spend it? I can tell you many lives, and I don't mean to put them down, who have money, so much money, but can't spend it. God's purpose for you is not to enjoy, it's not to amass so much and not be able to enjoy. I believe God wants me to enjoy life on this earth. And people wonder, okay, well, if you're planning for your future and retirement, how come you're not enjoying the money God is giving you right now? Or, you know, people always ask that question. If you're a Christian and you know that God wants you to enjoy life, why are you planning for the future? And I say to them, if you can tell me what the future looks like, I'll decide right now. If you can tell me I'm rich in the future, why do I need to save money? Right? Why do I need to save money? If you can tell me, but then people say, well, you know, and some people say, well, you know, the rapture was going to come. And you just leave the money. I said, where I'm going, I don't need the money. If the rapture comes and I go there, the streets are paved with gold. My little daughter says, we're talking to her, and she goes, so what's when I grow really old and I grow old, and when the rapture comes, I'm just going to go to heaven. I'm going to live on the street. I said, no, we don't live on the street. There's houses in heaven. She goes, but it's just, there's gold on the streets. I'm like, okay. So we had, my wife and I were like, no, you can choose whether you want to live on the street, but I'm going to live in the house. Right? I'm going to live in the house in mansions. The Bible says, where I go, then I go prepare you a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms. She goes, we go to heaven and we go live on the street. I'm not living on the street. But here's the truth. If the streets are paved with gold, I don't need this rotten money. I watched something recently. There was this person that built a house and had so much money. I think it was about 11 point something million. And they got the money put in plastic bags and they buried the money there. And the person died. And many years later, they bought the house. And while the person was renovating the house, and was digging somewhere, saw the money. I'm talking about millions and millions. The money was cash and paper, and the paper, the money was never worth a bit. It was crumbled, moth. And this is a true story with pictures. Moth and things. The money, you know, when you touch it and it's no longer money, it's just nothing. And while he was alive, his family used to ask him for a lot of money, and he said he never had. Meanwhile, he borrowed it, buried it. And because he was so much greedy, burying the money, did not want anyone to know about where he buried the money, somebody else came in there. And that one could even use the money because the money had been buried for many years. What kind of success is that? Someone said, I said, well, if I wait enough and I can provide for my future, plan for the future by the grace of God, then if I don't need the money, I don't need money. Guess what? What would you do with the money? You give it away. Wisdom, right? Wisdom, you cannot live the now and don't forget the fact that you have it tomorrow. Scripture says that only a fool takes all they have and squanders it. It's in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 21, only a fool gets everything they've got and squanders it. The power behind being able to plan. I'll tell you this, Joseph, as a deliverance in the time of wealth, God said, put aside. He said, put aside. Do you realize that God always provides for famine? And except for the garden, what's that thing Israel went to? The wilderness. There was never a time where those were provided by God. Except for manna that came from heaven, nothing else came from God. Everything else was something that somebody has labored for or put in place. Or famine was something God brought back through hard work. Success is important, but you need to go with God. The presence of God is the difference maker in success. The Lord makes what you do prosper. He said that in Proverbs, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 or verse 18. It says, I am the Lord, I teach you the way to profit. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we know that the scriptures, and this is the way you should go. It says, then you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who, let me go to the scripture, gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God is interested in the details of your life, and he really wants to be able to help you through life. You see, it is the blessings of God that makes rich and does not add any sorrow. So riches and success we want it with God. People say, well, I can do this. I can struggle, work really hard and be successful. Why do I need God? And I said, may your success not come with sorrow. Because God ensures that when he blesses, it is for good. Not just in one area of your life, but in multiple areas of your life. Take a minute during your day. Take a minute in your business and invite him. My question is, every time when you do something, have you invited God? Do you bring God into the situation? I like what someone said. It said, work hard like it depends on you and pray hard. And walk with God like it depends on him to be successful. In John chapter 15, verse 7, scripture says, we ought to abide in him. 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you would ask what you desire and it shall be established unto you. Scripture says that he will bless the work of your hand. So you're talking about all this word of God that says you should just learn to bring God into it. I read something I read somewhere, a story here, and it's attributed to Dr. Billy Graham. And it says this, and A little child was playing one day with a valuable vase. He put his hand into it and could not withdraw it. His father tried his best, but all in vain. They were thinking about breaking the vase when the father said, "Now, son, make one more try. Open your hand and hold your fingers out straight as you see me doing, and then pull out." To their astonishment, the fellow said, "Oh no, father, I couldn't pull my fingers out like that, because if I did, I would drop my penny." Now that's maybe, as I expected, very interesting. Isn't that true that when we look at success, we're holding on onto a penny inside a place bound with what we are, when God is saying, "I want to get you out of that." And we're holding the penny, and we can't get ourselves out of a hole we're in. And the father's job sometimes is going to say, "Let go." That's because the future is better than what you see right now. That's because success is bigger than what you can see. If we can just let go. Being close to God means you're able to give generously to God, because God blesses the hands and the labor that gives to others. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. God blesses the hands that give generously to others. What is the purpose of success to you? To amass wealth or to be a blessing? I've told God many times, "Don't give me something I'm not willing to share or get let go." And some people might think that's a curse. No, for me, it's whatever I hold on to that is not mine is a curse unto me. But whatever I hold on to, I know it's God's own, so I want to know, where should I go? Who should I give it to? Because every time I'm able to do that, I know that my help comes from the Lord. And every opportunity I've got to be able to do that, and that's the attitude that gets us to where we need to go. When we hold on to things, we cannot let go. But when we let go, we will be amazed how many more pennies we'll get if we can get our hands out of a jar. There are very many more than what we talked about, but those are the seven. I mean, you can talk about building relationships, you can talk about networking, you can talk about reading, but these are seven that I can say it's a what I call success in motion. It's a jump start towards a life of success. And if you and I can take that and run with it, it's a good start.